So understanding the Howard said model a little better, perceptual and learning construct. Learning construct is a construct which is based on information, based on the input, based on assessment of the stimuli vis-a-vis my cognitive ability, etc., what I construct for you. So that's what perceptual bias makes him distort the information. However, in my mind, there may be certain biases against you that will distort the way I learn about you. This interpretation of the stimuli results in comprehension, collective comprehension of the brand. High rating, high rating builds up his confidence, resulting in a purchase. So if you construct things well and it connects well, you get a higher order preference, and that preference building will translate into a favorable decision making. So that's the second part. Output is the purchase decision that a guy takes, which is an output that you are looking at. You may be looking at a specific objective driven output. Here, say what has been mentioned is a trial. You are trial encouraging, or your brand awareness you are encouraging, or a brand relationship you are building. So what is it? Or just reinforcement that you are attempting. Or an offer you are trying to reach out to him. So what is it that you are looking at as an output? So what is that call to action that has been accepted or needed by you? That's an output that you look at. So the request made to refer to the output model of purchase decision, which is there, not been explained here in a presentation as such. Then comes the external variable, which is what else may influence the buying behavior. These are not part of his decision making process necessarily, but are the improvements to the extent that it may influence the buyer. Okay, this differs from buyer to buyer and include like a status, relevance of the product to him, social class, traits that he pursues, what is he want to convey using this product, what is he looking out of the product, etc. So those are some of the other aspects. So these are those external variables. They do not form a major part of either his buying process or even in his decision making this thing as such, but they do at times support or obstruct his decision making. Therefore, one need to also know such aspects, if any, which is worthwhile attending. So that's what Howard said model. So we come back to post-purchase behavior. So as you know that Howard said model, and there was another model which we will study. These are the models which essentially are driven towards buying decision behavior, and this particular part is overall coming under decision making cycle only process. But post-purchase, we took this after the post-purchase because initially I wanted you to understand these five stages, and then I got into different buying model behavior, and then we got into this type of two models, which is Howard set, and there is other one. And so we completed Howard set model understanding, and we therefore go back to continuing our post-purchase behavior understanding. So marketer must understand consumers even after the purchase. It helps him to identify the things from the customer perspective. Now that all your communication, persuasion, stimuli, etc., you manage getting the customers, beyond this you have no control. Beyond this, it's a customer who will now decide. So marketer is still keen to know, okay, what is that customer is thinking about you. So for a marketer, it is essential to know whether the post-purchase this thing is positive or adversely affected. So this indicates what extent the purchase have made or met the need of a customer, and how is he aligned with this product purchase, how satisfied is he. So purchase, post-purchase activity is an indication whether customer is going to connect with you again, whether he is going to patronize you in future, may buy other kind of product from you in future or not. So that's the critical part. Additionally, the referral and all. So here, that's the stage where the concept of satisfaction, dissatisfaction comes in. So post-purchase, when I get into evaluation and the experience that I got initially and thereafter, will build my satisfaction or a dissatisfaction towards my purchase, which is reflected on the brand or the product that I have purchased. Please remember that it translates there. Satisfaction is a result of the expected outcome. I was expecting it meets my purpose. I was not expecting this. It has happened. So it is not up to my expectations. So dissatisfied customers have a choice to discontinue our association or spread the negative word of mouth. Okay. Some may formally complain. So that percentage is very low generally. So the communication strategy has to depend upon this. And how do you handle this different aspects of a post-purchase dissatisfied customer? So that also has to be taken into account. Essence is to see that you have a higher number of satisfied customers. Those who are dissatisfied, is there a way that you can repair that? And you can repair your adverse impact. At least you prevent negative spread of mouth. And many surveys suggest that if the repair is handled well, the same customer is most likely. Almost, I have read one article which says almost 84% of the customers whose service complaints have been attended successfully, service repair is taken well, have come back to the brand. So that's the one powerful indication. So other tips for avoiding dissatisfaction are there. State facts, help consumer in product selection, give him adequate information, reach him, support him with the comparisons, provide us a promotion not onto the monetary or such aspects or a product aspects, but drive the solution home and make him aware of what solution he gets, etc. And assure that customer that even after purchase, you are standing with him. So that kind of avoidance, dissatisfaction avoidance approach can be handled by the marketer in the post-purchase behavior. So one must understand, therefore, this five purchase behavior process, so to say, consumer purchase process, consumer buying process, as the case may be. So next, the second model is Schiffman Knock model of consumer decision making. That's another model we have taken for consideration. It takes care of the two types of individual consumer, two different types of consumers. One is a cognitive or a problem solving, and second is the emotional consumer. It has three components under it. So under each kind of this thing, it has a three components: input, process, and output. So we are understanding the Schiffman Knock model. Essentially, input, process, and output, as it is described earlier, that it has these three areas that one need to look at: input, process, and output. So this is input, external influences, and socio-cultural environment. So two aspects are looked at. As we move forward, we'll study that. But essentially, the marketing mix and socio-cultural environment is to do with various influencing groups that we have studied. So that's what it is. Process. So there is a customer decision-making process. It has slightly different term than those five stages that we have understood. So need recognition, pre-purchase search, evaluation of alternatives, etc. Now, here what it tells you that these aspects are governed by psychological field. So motivation, perception, learning, personality, attitudes. We have also understood those kind of thing earlier. And they form the experience overall. And at the end, you have this output, which is a post-decision evaluation, where the guy gets into determining after his trial or after his repeat purchase or after his first purchase, as the case may be, he gets into post-purchase evaluation. All this leads to the experience building, once again shaping up the psychological field that determines again the consumer decision making process. And so you understand this skeleton. Now we get into a bit of an understanding more about it. Marketing mix, as I told you, the top first block that determines perception, it creates largely on the consumer that you are targeting. Apart from this, the social, class, cultural, so that various influencing factors work on the consumers. And the input processed by the consumers while taking the decision. So that forms the input part. Marketing mix and various influencing aspect is the input part on the consumer that is playing. The second, the decision-making process is affected by the psychological factor. So what it says, the decision is a derivative of the psychological process that consumer goes, which is one end dependent on the experience, and on the other end, it determines or impacts the buying process. So there are those different elements that has been mentioned out here. Now, in this case, the one aspect which was not covered out there, that psychological part, is the perceived risk. There is a perceived risk that the customer gets vis-a-vis Also, the concept of evoke set, whether your brand or the product is in the evoke set or not. So, we will study this as we move forward. So, kind of a risk that the customer often attaches while before taking the decision. So, functional risk, the physical risk, the social risk, and the time risk. Okay, let me just explain you. Functional risk is, will this work? Will this product work for me? Physical risk, will it lead to any harm? Will it lead to any loss? So that's a physical read. Monetary risk is also there. Will it give me value for money when person thinks that way? Social risk, will it harm, the use of this will harm my social self-image or social image that I'm trying to protect? And the time risk, the amount of time that I invested, will it get productively utilized? Will it yield me the desired result or it will be a waste of time? So those are the perceived risk, and it is coming from his psychological background. Now, marketeer cannot sit there and just wait for him to get away from the perceived risk. Marketeer must reduce the risk. Marketeer must do things that will reduce the risk. So provide as much of information, bring the loyalty towards your brand. So then rest of the thing coming from your brand is like a natural choice for him. Buying an established brand, encourage him to buy the established brand from the reputed retailer should be picked up. So give them the perspective why it matters, etc. Next expensive brand, so what is it that is available to him to create the kind of a self-image that he wants to portray, etc. Seek confirmation about a buy, etc. So you reach out to customers to obtain the testimony, etc., or resolve his initial apprehensions and all. So you kind of seek the confirmation about him feeling that his decision was right. So this is what you kind of facilitate so that perceived risks are minimized and he gets into continuing his purchase related experience exposure. A principle of evoke set. So that also one need to know. You should be in the evoke set of your consumer, as they say. Evoke set means when the category need or when the product need has come, you should come first in the mind. So here, in a descending order, what has been given to you is a hierarchy, so to say. So first, obviously, the brand set comes into the mind. Whenever you think of a category, the thirst or the hunger, or a snakes, etc., that's a brand which is coming to mind. So there may be number is 10, I've indicated you have. So product category has to come in first in your mind. Okay, why you feel thirsty or you feel hungry or what is the kind of a product that you are looking at. Then comes the evoked brand. Within that, what is an evoked brand? I have a need for painting. So whether the painting, I look around during weekends and all, oh, now it is too old, I need a painting. Then, oh, Asian Paints, Nerolac, Berger, what comes to my mind? Okay, so these are the evoke set. However, there are a few others, some that zebra type is not coming in my mind, indigo. So that indigo is not coming in my evoke set. Dhoni ko jo vapar ke bata rahe the, they also have an IPO which was successful, etc. So they are still not in my evoke set. So you see, so I will not think about them primarily in the immediate stage. Inept set of brands, and the brands which are not doing things, they are lying low. Inert set of brands, and they have never made any difference to me, etc. They never came into my consideration set, etc. So that is what is studied out here. I should have come here this first. All brands is a set of two, known brands and unknown brands. Known brands, are they coming in your evoke set? Which is a set which comes to your mind when you think of the product solution. So then, if that is the case, they are the acceptable brand. So if the brand comes in the evoke set and becomes an acceptable brand, then you may get into purchase or a non-purchase of it. That's fine. Here is an unknown brand. We are not talking about them at all. But known brand, you may get into inept set or inert set. So both are kind of non-active set for me. So unacceptable, indifferent, and overbooked or overlooked brand. Sorry. So this is the classification of inept and inert set. So now you can see that if you come into this set, then your getting chosen by the customer is very minimal. You come into this and not selected is a different ballgame. Okay. So one need to understand this dynamics very well. The consumer decision rule, and so what we are trying to understand in the post-purchase, Decision rule, the evolution of the product. Rule makes the complex decisions simpler. So now, having done your purchase, compensatory decision rule. Here, first rule is one where a brand is evaluated as a summated score of all the relevant attributes. So overall, how do I classify it? Compensatory decision rule. So there are various things: the convenience, the speed, the quality, this thing, etc. But overall, do I give? So that is what many telecallers or many auto-generated IVR call on satisfaction, they generally talk about the overall. Okay, so that's a compensatory decision rule. It allows the choice of a brand carrying highest score. A brand may have a positive evaluation and one attribute and negative, there may be some other attributes, but overall I give that, say, high rating, or among my consideration evoke set, etc. I give it a good rating and overall. So then that's a compensatory decision rule. The second is non-compensatory decision rule follows a minimum cutoff limit. So there is some minimum cutoff limit to qualify. Again, there are two subsets to that: conjunctive decision making and a disjunctive. So conjunctive means brand rejected if it falls below the cutoff. So there is some cutoff limit. If brand falls below that rating, you will reject that. Disjunctive decision making rule: brand accepted if it is above the specific cutoff limit. So all those brand which fall in above the specific cutoff limit, then they are accepted. There's a third approach. After we studied the compensatory, then non-compensatory, the third approach called lexicographic decision making rule. Here various attributes are ranked in terms of relevance and importance. So various attributes, like if you are selecting a dry cleaner, the nearness to your house, the kind of a shop, say, establishments, the courteousness of the staff, the process that you use to dry clean, the lead time of giving you delivery. Now these are those ways. Now the relevance to your decision and the importance to your decision is categorized first, and then the ratings are given, and then the decisions are arrived. Okay. Affect referral rules. There's a fourth one. Consumers retain it in their memory. Overall experience, they may not retain nitty-gritty of it, so to say, or the separate nuances of that. They retain overall score in the evoke set. So it makes an individual attribute evaluation unnecessary. So individual attributes wise, the earlier attribute that I gave you for the selection of dry cleaner, that becomes redundant here, as they say. Likely to select the brand that provides in the highest perceived overall rating. So whenever the next need comes, whichever brand that comes into highest perceived risk, highest perceived ranking will be chosen by him. I will not get into the minor aspect of it. The knowledge of decision rules that earlier that we studied enables marketers to design a suitable promotional program. So this knowledge enables you to design a promotional program, because you are now trying to create an influence based on the post-purchase state of his mind. That one must understand. So overall, you know that we discussed a lot on the post-purchase satisfaction being the center of it, and where's the why? Because the concept of relationship marketing starts where the buying ends. So that's what idea is, to retain the existing customer, sell more to him, wherein this is because the retained customer is more profitable to you. It comes from the, you know, organization's focus to build a long-term relationship which is trustworthy, and this rides over and above any other benefit that organization may be seeking. So relationship is of a paramount significance. It improves the retention index. So if you continue building this philosophy, the retention index will improve. Means the more number of customers retained by you will increase. It is a known fact that in the marketing, that acquiring a new customer is several times more costly than converting or getting a sale from the retained customers. The cost of mass advertising, cost of acquire lead generation, cost of acquiring, etc. is not there. He is there with you, and right offer will attract him. So relationship can be also at the distribution network level, supplier level. So it's an all-round concept. It can envelop all the stakeholders. It is based on essentially the quality of the product, fairness in the pricing, and servicing effectively. So these three are the foundation points, tripods you can say. The customer needs relationship values while transactional values. So customer prefers relationship value. So if everything else remains same, maybe the competition is trying to give him a cheaper also. Customers beyond a point will get more towards the value than the transaction. So if you have given him a sufficient value in the past, he may not buy and mind buying little costly, but he will want to buy from you. So that's the crux of the relationship marketing. In mass marketing, so that's the first point that I have explained. In mass marketing, generally that relation perspective is lost. The point you see that every time you have to do mass marketing, every time you have to reach out, advertising, promotion, everything you need to do. While in the relationship construct scenario, you will generate some sale from the mass marketing, you will generate also some and maybe significant sales from the relationship that you have by adopting to what you call a relationship marketing tools, direct marketing, emailing, etc., telephonic conversation, direct mailer, so to say, or very effective value-oriented offers reaching to him in right time, etc. So, essence is giving a one-to-one benefit, a lot of personalization, understanding his buying behavior. So, you come to know what are his new emerging needs. So, that's how the relationship is stepped, you know, his evolution over time. So, those aspects matter. All customers may not, are qualifying for the long term. Very true. In the relationship, you have to again depend on the Pareto rule, which is 80-20. So there will be 20% of the customers who may be giving you 80% of the business. Now it is better to focus building relationship among those 20% of the customers. You may not get them all, but once you start, this percentage of this thing should increase. So this will become possible once you start investing and understanding what consumer actually wants. You study, you build his database, you study his purchase, you understand the trend, etc. You can foresee what may become his future needs, etc. So then you try to put an offer to him which aligns with his need of an hour, as they say. Then they are willing to remain with you. You continue to give service, continue to offer better product promises, brand promises are fulfilled, etc. They will continue with you. So that's the crux of a relationship, this thing. In relationship marketing, customers collaborate with business to generate new business. So here is a collaborative marketing concept also comes in. You involve customers to develop your new product or the service, get feedback, get ideas from them. So database marketing plays, as I told you, a pivotal role earlier, because from the database your relationship starts. If you have a database, right database, which is going beyond telephone and email, this thing, you purchase their servicing cycles, their referrals, you foresee what kind of product that they are buying, you are able to study that, the frequency you are able to study. So you are able to understand the consumers well, and therefore you are able to profile what may be needed by them. And once you do that, you are able to reach out to them with the right offer. Building brands that establish a relationship, it's ultimate in terms of creating a community. So there is an online, Cadbury online group is there. It's a community where, people come out with new things that they developed using a Cadbury chocolate, etc. Now, see that people of like-minded, these things have come together. So that's a power. And when they exchange this, social, this thing takes their view by wide and far. So that's how they create that spread, so to say. So I'm explaining you one concept. This is also the end of this understanding of the relationship marketing. There is a concept that we just used a line. The transaction, this thing is more than the value. So value is a relationship marketing. This gives you the difference. What is between transaction marketing and relationship marketing. In transaction marketing, emphasis is on the single sale, that particular sale. In relationship marketing, it is an emphasis on retaining and resale. Product-oriented approach in transactions, you will always offer a product or a service as the case may be. In the relationship, it's a customer-centric approach. What your customers may need now. A transaction is short-term, relation is long-term. Customer service is hardly present in the transactional marketing. While regular and high-end customer service is a precondition to relationship marketing. contact is very less. You are not able to personalize. You are not knowing your customer one-to-one, which is not the case with relationship marketing. You have an intensive understanding of your customer, their contact details, etc. Quality is product driven. You drive the product quality. Here quality is everybody's driven, where you value the relationship, and therefore that drives your development of the quality. So a student must review the synopsis, synoptic view of relationship marketing. What I have covered is a gist of it, gives you the definitely broad understanding in a right manner, but it may not be sufficient and exhaustive enough. So with that note, I would like to conclude. We have finished this important chapter also, which was more on the consumer buying process and the behavior thereof, and another aspect, which is the relationship marketing. Thank you.